Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. Sister Razia Chavni, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my sister Zainab.
Thank you so very much for joining us again, Sister Razia. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing the continuation of our series regarding the women in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Rasulullah in the lives of women of his time, and of course throughout history, because like we discussed earlier, he's not just a person, he's an idea, he's a concept, he's a truth, he's universal, he's timeless, immortal, one might even say. On the last episode, you very interestingly pointed out to a verse 28 of Surah Al-Ahzab, I believe, about how Allah is like, well, my darling Prophet, chill. I say it's good, it's cool, it's all right for you to do a certain thing, even if it makes your wives unhappy. You don't have to torture yourselves like that. And then in the next verse, Allah tells his prophet to address his wives and tell them that if you're not in for the simple life of being the wife of the prophet, y'all can leave.
In a good way.
But in a good way, you know? I'm not labeling you as lowlives and dishonor to the family forever. And it just comes to show, like you said, how gentle, tender, attentive, compassionate, understanding, and just human Rasulullah was toward his wives. Even those who didn't necessarily see eye to eye with him, even those who weren't necessarily on the same page with him in terms of values, in terms of submission, in terms of serving the objective and cause. Like, we have the instance of Lady Khadija, salamullah alayha. I was reading in a history book that during the time where Rasulullah first began his public invitation to Islam, people would throw stones at him. And one day it got so severe, Sayyidah Khadija blocked Rasulullah with her own body so that she could be his shield and stand in the way of those stones so that her beloved husband would not get hurt. It's the most romantic thing in the world. And this kind of wife makes the Rasulullah so captivated, so in love with her for the rest of his life that every time he mentions her after her death, he tears up, he sends gifts for her friends, you know, he constantly remembers her, mentions her, talks about her, praises her. And
this just shows, I was just going to mention this, his appreciation, his open eyes to his gratefulness.
Exactly.
He sees what people have done for you. There are so many men out there who have really good wives. Very supportive, very understanding, very providing.
Selfless.
You know, for years they devote themselves and their youth for the growth of their family. Then at the end of the day, after 30, 40 years of life, when they get old and she gets all wrinkled up, he starts looking elsewhere. This just shows that the conduct of the Noble Prophet in the seerah of the Noble Prophet, if you want to be a good Muslim following his footsteps, he was a grateful person.
More of that after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady here in the studio. I'm with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're talking about the position of women in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes, Lady Khadija went out of her way. She was a shield for the Prophet.
In every sense.
In every sense.
Psychological, physical, spiritual, moral.
Exactly.
Social.
The Prophet saw that.
Yeah. And he could have just easily said that, well, whatever she did it for Islam.
She did her duty.
Yeah, exactly.
You have the money?
Yeah.
You do your right.
Yes, exactly. But no.
You know, so many men, when they see their wives working, they say, honey, you work, you pay for the family. It's your duty. But the Prophet didn't have this approach. Not only to Lady Khadija, he had this spirit of gratefulness in him.
For sure.
Towards anyone who did anything for him.
Yes.
Right? For example, with regards to Baraka, with regards to Halima Sadia, with regards to Fatima bint Asad, yes. With regards to Khadija bint Khuwailid, with regards to his daughters, he had the spirit, the attitude of gratitude. Something that flames up love, warmth, and serenity in the family.
Exactly.
If both of them realize and acknowledge the things that they do for each other, I think Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, when he wanted to give advice to people who came so that he would say the khutbah, who would recite the khutbah of the marriage and the nikah, he would say to the women, don't expect so many things from him. As long as you see that the guy fulfills your rights, then be happy. But when you are, you want to see how you have to react, go out of your way, go further than your legal duties, go into the ethical realm. The same he said to the other side. right? So if you don't expect much, but you expect much from yourself in carrying out rights of others, and not only rights, but ethical things, your life becomes so much sweeter. I can mention, for example, specifically what the Noble Prophet said about these instances that I mentioned. Back in the time when the Prophet was very small and he was an orphan, he was the orphan of Amina, his father had passed away even before he was born.
Yep.
Not so many people, not so many wet nurses were willing to accept him. He was an orphan, right? But among these people, Halima Sadia accepted him and took him as her son, right? So in the time of the Prophet's time of power and authority, where he was the ruler of the society, he had political power and he was a prestigious personality, he didn't forget what others had done for him in his...
When he had nothing.
When he had nothing and when he was very weak and an orphan boy. Right?
Of course, Rasulullah is the center of the universe, no matter what age and stage of life he was in. He is the purpose of creation, and everything
revolves around
him, exactly. And he holds the key to all the treasures of this world and the next. But like, from a social
materialistically speaking,
he was just an orphan boy,
right?
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
For example, in one of the battles, in the Battle of Hunain, when the Muslim army had defeated the tribe of Hawazin, right? And in that tribe, Bani Sa'd, Halima Sa'diyah, the Bani Sa'd were part of the Hawazin tribe, right? And among them, there were 14 people from the chiefs of the tribe that after they were taken as captives, all these powerful people, and they came to the Prophet and they said, among the captives, they were addressed the Prophet and said, among the captives are your milk sisters and maternal milk aunts who served you in your childhood. A generous behavior, you know, would be that you free them, free these captive men and women, because of what they have done to you in the old days. So the Prophet, he said that as far as my right is concerned, and as far as the rights of the children of Abdul Muttalib, as far as their rights is are also concerned, I will forget about my right. You're totally right. And I will free as many captives as, you know, it's within my rights and within my power and control. But with regards to the right of the others, the Muhajirin and Ansar, that's not within my hands. But I will show you how to win their hearts and how to talk to them in a way that you would convince them to free your captives. And he teaches them. And they're all freed.
That's beautiful.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, they were all freed.
They were all freed. And also, in the same battle, the Noble Prophet saw his stepsister, Shaima, and she was among the captives. And when the Prophet recognized her, he felt very upset, and he spread his cloak.
Stepsister, like as in?
Halima Sa'diyah's family, right?
Like foster sister,
adopted sister. Right. He respected her once he recognized her and gave her the option. He said, would you like to stay with us or return to your tribe? She chose to return, but then she became a Muslim. And the Prophet gave her some goods and also escorted her with two men to respectfully return her to her tribe. Mm. These are instances. This you're talking about wartime, right?
And it also reminds me of that verse in the Quran where Allah says that if you were harsh and hard-hearted, they would disperse from you. It's a gift from us that you are so layin, you're so tender.
It's beautiful.
He really is mercy for all of the world.
Mercy, rahmatun lil alamin.
Exactly. He's the perfect personification of Allah's mercy.
Definitely. I also wanted to share with you the story where Lady Khadija Salamullah alayha made herself shield for the noble prophet. That story is also very interesting because in it you could see the high spiritual status of Lady Khadija Salamullah alayha. Because the story is like that. That's Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was very young, right? So someone comes to his door screaming that Ali, Muhammad is dead. So he rushes to Khadija's house because obviously if anyone has any news about Muhammad, it's Khadija, his love. So she asks him if he knows about the whereabouts of Muhammad, and she says, I don't know. So they go to search for him, right? And Khadija was so touched and so concerned and so worried for the health of her husband and her prophet that she was going in the desert and she was saying, who will find for me the chosen prophet? Look at her affection towards Muhammad. Who will find for me the one who perished himself in the way of Allah? The verse that you mentioned before. Who will find for me Qasim's father? Right? She was so heartbroken that Jibreel
had to come down and console her. Yeah.
Right? And Jibreel comes to the Prophet and says, Muhammad, don't you see Khadija from whose tears the angels are crying? Look how sincere this worry was. Call her to yourself and send Allah's blessing to her. SubhanAllah, what a status she had.
Inshallah ta'ala, more of that on the next episode of Muslim Lady. I hope you guys enjoyed our discussion today. Until another salam and greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the love one?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return. La ilaha.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us contemplate a gem of a statement from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible successor of the Prophet of Islam, on the eve of his martyrdom. What an evil person he is who has two faces and two tongues. He praises his brother when he is present and backbites him when he is absent. He envies him if he is given and betrays him if he is afflicted.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Hot air balloons were invented in the 18th century, enabling man to finally fulfill his dream of flying. After more than 200 years, people are still eager to ride the colorful vehicles. Some even use them competitively. In the German hot air ballooning championships, balloonists will fly over the skies of the green Bavarian town of Tegernsee. 25 of Germany's best pilots are vying for first place. The organizers of the event expect a tight race, as the contestants have all managed to pass the previous competitions with flying colors to qualify for the national championship.
A zoo in northeast France has an adorable new inhabitant, a white baby rhinoceros. The cute little male rhino was born on the 6th of October. The zoo staff have given him the name of Mole. He was able to withstand less than 2 hours after being born. Mole soon started feeding from his gentle 21-year-old mother called Tala. Mole is Tala's third baby.
Children and young adults have once again come back to cinema as Iran is hosting the 34th edition of the International Film Festival for Children and Youth. Salman Kujuri has the story.
The 34th edition of the International Film Festival for Children and Youth is underway in Iran, with around 600 films from 32 countries having entered the contest. The motto of this year's festival is Cinema, the Land of Imagination. In the national section, some 440 films from Iranian movie makers have been submitted to the secretariat of the festival, including 248 short, 119 short animated, 30 feature-length and 14 feature films, 12 web series, and also 19 Korean narrations.
This edition of the festival can be considered as a festival of cinema products for the most important generation of the next century, a generation that must redefine the country in the new world and protects its power, culture, pride, and identity. Although the tragedy of the pandemic is terrible, at least it assures us that the next generation from an early age has experienced and learned to deal with difficult circumstances and pay due attention to the importance of cooperation and teamwork in the face of major crises.
The foreign films include 32 animated and 30 feature-length movies from 32 countries, as well as 56 short movies, including 21 short animated and 35 short feature films. The movies have been screened in two cities, Tehran and Isfahan, both in an online format and in theaters in compliance with the health protocols.
I've narrated a couple of films at this festival, and I love to watch children's films. I love comedy. I watched a number of movies at this festival, and they've been good.
This year, I have taken part in this edition of the festival with a film for which my colleagues and I have tried so hard to produce. I care about the children of my country because they are future makers of this land. I hope children will like my movie.
Such platforms as Hashur, Tiva and Filima have displayed the films, and the online audience can watch the works on these three online platforms.
Children's movies are an excellent way to educate them. They can be very useful to teach them history, show them different cultures, accustom them to fundamental values, and show them how to think, all in a simple and entertaining way. Salman Kujuri, Tehran.
The Greek Postal Service has come up with an innovative idea to speed up the mail sorting process, not by humans, but a fleet of robots. 55 tiny yellow robots powered by artificial intelligence are helping employees in Hellenic Post Sorting Center. They scan postal codes to identify the bundle's destination, weigh the parcels, and put them in related platforms. The program aims to handle increasing number of packages from online shopping, especially during the pandemic.
The end result is a threefold increase in sorting speed of parcels, ensuring next-day delivery for our customers. These autonomous mobile robots are energy efficient, thus directly reducing the energy consumption of the sorting process, and that way allowing us to take a greener approach to operations.
According to the company, up to 80% of mail sorting has been passed to the four-wheeled robots. Each day, these little machines manage around 168,000 packages weighing up to 15 kilograms. Every 4 hours, they need recharging, which takes 5 minutes.
Now, an underwater museum in Turkey is offering a unique opportunity to its visitors. Diving back in time, the World War I era naval battle site turned into an underwater park on Turkey's Gallipoli Peninsula, and it has recently opened its doors to the public. The area is known as the graveyard of the navies and includes dozens of shipwrecks from battles dating back to the early 20th century.
One of the most exciting things about diving is shipwrecks, of course. They remind you of the past, and it's like a time machine that takes you back to 1915.
The British Royal battleship HMS Majestic is one of the first ships that divers see as they start their underwater journey. The vessel sank during the First World War and rests more than 24 meters below the ocean's surface, but it still remains intact. Remains of 14 British, French, and Australian warships are over there. Museum officials say they want the site to become a new hub for divers who wish to explore historical events.
Russia has sent an actress and a director to space to make the world's first movie in orbit. The crew blasted off from Kazakhstan for the International Space Station along with a cosmonaut and successfully reached the orbit. They spent 4 months on preparation for the flight. After 12 days in space, they will return to Earth. The movie, named Challenge, is about a doctor who goes to the space station to treat an astronaut. with a heart ailment. Russian officials say the project will help burnish the nation's space glory.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Australian scientists have developed artificial structures that act as a much-needed habitat for marine life.
It's extremely exciting because we have seen a total of more than 90 species colonizing these diverse panels. And we see 30 to 40% more species on the panels in the living seawalls than on the unmodified parts of the seawall, so the seawalls with no panels. So that's extremely exciting. Really gives us confidence to scale this up to other environments and other artificial structures.
The project has installed over 1,000 artificially designed panels onto seawalls in Sydney. These craggy concrete panels are 3D printed and designed to last for at least 20 years. Only a short time after installation, they turned into a cozy new home for the fish, crustaceans, and other marine life.
So we have more fish in Sydney Harbour than we have in the entire UK coast. So we have more than 500 species of fish in the harbour, so that's quite impressive. But what we notice is that urbanization and the human settling, especially towards the coast, has a lot of impacts on this amazing marine environment, and that's what we are trying to mitigate a bit with the living seawalls. By attaching these panels that mimic natural features such as rocky shores and rock pools and crevices and nooks and crannies.
After becoming popular in Australia, the panels were also installed in Wales and Singapore. The scientists say since the installation of these panels, the quality of Sydney's harbour water has improved. They hope coastal structures built in the future would be ecologically sustainable, designed not only for humans, but for nature.
Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. Indonesian activists have come up with an idea to convince people to rethink their habits and say no to single-use bags and bottles. Environmentalists have created a museum made entirely from plastic waste in the town of Gressing in East Java. It took them 3 months to collect used plastic items, ranging from bottles and bags to sachets and straws. They were all assembled from polluted rivers and beaches. The centerpiece of this museum is a statue whose skirt is made from single-use sachets of household items. The museum has become a popular location for selfies and has received more than 400 visitors since it opened last month.
I will definitely change my life habits. For example, like when I go to the market or to a grocery store that provides a plastic bag, I will switch to a tote bag. And when I buy a drink, I will use a tumbler.
Environmentalists say the plan behind the exhibition was to send a message about the world's worsening ocean plastic crisis. The plastic problem is particularly acute in Indonesia, a nation that ranks second only behind China for its volume of plastics that end up in the seas.
People around the world celebrate the changing seasons in different ways. In the U.S., an annual pumpkin contest is held to kick off the fall season. Each year, farmers and vegetable enthusiasts from across the U.S. gather in New England for the competition. Anyone bringing the largest homegrown pumpkin gets the prize. This year, a man from Abington, Connecticut, got the prize for his pumpkin weighing more than 2,000 pounds. Alex Noel explains how he worked hard to produce that giant pumpkin.
A nearly unlimited amount of work goes into producing a 2,000-pound-plus pumpkin. I put about 1,000 hours a season into 2 to 3 giant pumpkins, and you're lucky to even get that many by the end of the year. I'm out there watering, fertilizing, keeping excess water off if it's too rainy, which it was this year, spraying insecticides, spraying fungicides, pruning, training vines, propping up leaves at the end of the season, putting blankets on when it's cold out, heating cables, fans. I mean, the list goes on and on.
The New England Giant Pumpkin Way Off began at the Tufts Field Fair in 1984. That year, the winner showcased a pumpkin weighing 196 kilograms. The Way Off has received worldwide recognition, too. Syria's ancient city of Aleppo seems getting a taste of normalcy amid reconstruction efforts and the war-ravaged city. A Syrian historian has also been contributing to make the city regain its lost glory. Ala al-Sayed is working to faithfully restore the lost sections of Aleppo's old city. For that, he is using documents and clippings he himself saved during the early years of the conflict. He says he came up with the idea to digitalize those documents in 2013. Then he embarked on organizing newspapers, books, and pamphlets while scanning each one to add to his digital library. Following the liberation of Aleppo, Ala came back to the city and started renovating historic places which are on the World Heritage List.
The North Dublin suburb of Howth has a new highly efficient firefighting crew. The group has 25 members, but none of them are human.
Howth was targeted by a lot of fire. So there's a lot of gorse here, and it's prone, it's very flammable. The goats, on the other hand, love gorse, so it's a win-win in that sense. I suppose the project also focuses on the old Irish goat, defining their role as a functional biodiversity crew. They're a hard-working crew, they're up for the job, they're keen to do it. It also instills key conservation grazing principles to tackle fire prevention and habitat management and the control of invasive species. So it's the old Irish ladies that have a job to do here and are well able to do it.
The goats graze eagerly on the ample gorse bushes, which are highly inflammable and cause blazes in hot weather. The local council hopes their deployment will make Howth less susceptible to wildfires. Conservationists also hope that the project will contribute to the survival of the old Irish goats, which almost went extinct in the last century. Each member of the herd has a box around their neck with a built-in GPS device. If the goats stray too far, the gadget will ping and let the owner know.
Five Siberian tiger cubs born in a South Korean zoo have made their first public debut. The cubs were born at Everland Theme Park in Yongin in late June. Their birth brought joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts as they are listed as endangered species. Zookeepers say it's unusual for Siberian tigers to give birth to five babies at once. South Korean people selected the cubs' names through an online vote.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters,
Salamun alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to be with us during this episode. We're going to speak about the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. Let's see what date is today. Today, Thursday, is the 7th of the month of Rabiul Awal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Imran, verse 104.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
And let there be arising from you a nation inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and those will be the successful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Invitation to benevolence, enjoining the right and forbidding the wrong, should ceaselessly be performed in the society, not in the form of seasonal and temporary movements. Prosperity is not found only in personal delivery, but the prosperity and delivery of others are also from its conditions. The inviter to benevolence and right would be Islamists, anthropologists, and one who knows the methods. It is for this reason that it is said that some of the members of community have a special duty, not all of them.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
I'm here to speak about the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. Responsibility is one of the most key aspects of Islam. Everybody is responsible for doing such actions. Allah did not create us without any purpose. At the beginning of the creation of men, He disclosed His will to the angels and that He is going to send the Khalifa, that means wise gerent, to the earth. You can find this concept in Surah Baqarah, verse 30. The word caliph or khalifa in the dictionary has been defined as a person exercising delegated power on behalf of a sovereign or ruler. It means Allah decided our responsibility before creating us. Therefore, we all have some responsibility to be performed in this life. The responsibility can be conceptualized through two ways. One of them is responsibility to the Creator, Allah, and the other is responsibility to the creation. We are firstly responsible to ourselves. We should be careful about good and bad for ourselves. The life given to us is an amana or trustee. We cannot do anything harmful to our life.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let me explain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with discharging our responsibilities as viewed in the Islamic religion. According to the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, helping the problems of another Muslim brother solved is much better than liberating 1,000 slaves and dispatching 1,000 horses, covered with warfares in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that helping others is really a very praiseworthy gesture, and this helps everybody develop a sense of responsibility toward not only oneself but toward the whole community. Another kind of responsibility is the responsibility that the wealthy people are expected to sense and feel regarding those people who are not financially that self-support people. According to the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, helping another Muslim family in order to receive support is much better than performing 1, 2, or even 70 rounds of making pilgrimages to Mecca. Imagine that at that time, making pilgrimages from remote lands to Mecca, but also, traveling wasn't an easy job, an easy task. And nowadays, we have, transportation facilities, but in the ancient time, it wasn't that easy to accomplish these tasks. Another kind of responsibility is the responsibility we have to feel regarding opposing the tyrants. Thank you.
Responsibilities towards other creations. Dear brothers and sisters, till now in different episode of today's special, we'll look at the responsibilities, the kinds of responsibilities. One of them was responsibilities towards Allah, the other one was responsibilities towards ourselves, and the other one was the responsibility towards other people, and now responsibilities towards other creations. Allah the Glorified says in the Holy Quran, there is not a moving living creature on earth, nor a bird that flies with its two wings, but our communities like you. We have neglected nothing in the book. Then unto their Lord they all shall be gathered. The Holy Quran, chapter 6, verse 38. This includes every living creature besides human beings, such as animals, birds, and etc. They are creations of Allah brought under the control of men. They have a great status in Islam. Most of them are considered respectable creatures. Islam recognizes their rights and has set up a specified etiquette regarding them. We have to show mercy to them and should not torture them, such as by burning, beating, grieving, distressing, loading on them more than they can bear, and etc. When they are hungry or thirsty, we have to feed and give them water and food.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts. In- hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Social responsibility in Islam. And this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We start with the community ship. This is a parable given by the Prophet. The extreme of the person abiding by Allah's order and restrictions in comparison to those who violate them is like the example of those persons who drew lots for their seats in a boat. Some of them got seats in the upper part and the others in the lower. When the latter needed water, they had to go up to bring water and trouble the others. So they said, "Let us make a hole in our share of the ship and get water, saving those who are above us from troubling them." So if the people in the upper part left the others do what they had suggested, all the people of the ship would be destroyed. But if they prevented them, both parties would be safe. This understanding between individual and society of common responsibility for common interests is the basis for resisting social ills, and every method for achieving reform would remain fruitless unless preceded by such an understanding.
Messengers and the prophets are not just conveying the message of God for us. With conveying the message, transferring it, they practice it themselves. People look at the messenger. People look at the imam. An imam cannot just be imam on the minbar. This is not enough. An imam is imam everywhere, even in his bedroom. Everything he says, everything he does, in the marketplace, in the school, in the hospital, when he sells, when he buys, when he deals with his family, when he deals with his neighbors, even when he deals with his enemies, he should be an imam. This is a good imam. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, "Wallahi ma da'awtukum ila shay'in illa wa kuntu ana af'aluhu awwala. Wa ma nahaytukum ala an shay' illa wa kuntu ana alladhi intahaytu anhu awwala." I never said something on the pulpit here to my community. I never said to them, "Do it before I myself do it." And I have never said to them, "Don't do that before I myself do not do it." I don't contradict myself. Thus, Imam Ali was successful. He was very successful. He only ruled for 4 years and 9 months, no more. And these 4 years and 9 months were very tumultuous, turbulent. Three wars erupted. Three wars. Nakithina wal-Qasitina wal-Mariqina. Some people didn't like his justice.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Till another episode, fi amanillah. Oh,
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.